This morning to John chapter number 15. What love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, amen, that we should become the children of God. What love that he's willing to give everything for us who deserve nothing. How many gave your sweetie a Valentine's card or some chocolate or something just to say I love you today because it's Valentine's? There's a few that did. Amen. A few of you own up to it. A few of you don't. Amen. I gave my wife a card this morning. Told her how wonderful she is, how much I love her. Even wore my Valentine's. Get to wear it once every 7 years. Amen. Somebody give it to me. I don't know who give it to me. Valentine's Day tie. Amen. Wore it. But you know what? I'm thankful for the love of the Father this morning. For the love that endures all things. Valentine's Day started approximately 250 years after Jesus was born. How many know how Valentine's ever originated? I never did. I wonder what Valentine's, you know, St. Patrick's Day, St. Valentine. What's this all about? So I looked it up, and there's, you know, a bunch of different stories, different accounts. There are several different Valentines, just like everything else. You know, everyone's got their version of it. I like this one. Amen. And it said about 250 years after Jesus was born, there was a priest by the name of Valentine, and he lived in Rome. And he lived during the reign of Emperor Claudius. And Claudius was committed unto rebuilding the once great Roman army. He wanted to reinstate the greatness of Rome through its army and through its conquest and through its power. And rather than forcing men into service, he chose to ask for a volunteer army. And he asked for volunteers to join his army, but no one would join his army because men would rather stay at home with their wives and children than go off to war. And this kind of got to Claudius, and he figured that only single men would volunteer then, so he outlawed marriage in the Roman Empire. He outlawed weddings in the Roman Empire. It was illegal to get married, and it was illegal to perform a wedding. But St. Valentine thought this was a bit ridiculous, and it went against what God taught about a man and a woman coming together and loving one another and leaving their individual past and becoming one flesh. And he decided, as one of his favorite things to do was to hold weddings anyway, that he was going to continue to marry people who wanted to get married, and they would come to him in secret, and he would conduct the marriage ceremony in secret between a man and a woman as they came. And one night, as he was performing one of these weddings, he heard the steps of the Roman soldiers outside the door, and he sent a couple away. They got away in safety, but Valentine was arrested, and he was charged for breaking the law. And he broke the law of love. He broke the law of nature. He broke the law of what God had instituted, or what man had instituted because of what God had instituted. But to make a long story short, he was sentenced to death. And as he sat in prison, people would come, the couples that he married in secret and people that he had married beforehand would come, and they would throw gifts and they would throw candy and they would throw flowers into the window of the cell where Valentine was being held. And he was held so long that eventually the jailer's daughter wanted to meet this Valentine, and she was given permission to go and to talk with him, and they became great friends, and she would spend many hours just sitting and talking to Valentine and getting to know Valentine and appreciating the things that Valentine taught. And on the day of his execution, the day that he was to die, he left her a note thanking her for her friendship and for her loyalty to him. And he signed his note that he left her, "Love from your Valentine." And on that day, February 14th, 269 AD, as Valentine was executed, their tradition of leaving or sending a Valentine note to someone was started. And it's amazing what love does. It's amazing what love propels people to. But it's even more amazing what the love of God can do. And what the love of God can propel people to do. That they would be willing to sacrifice their own lives for the cause of Christ. Stand with us this morning as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word, John chapter 15. Begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. For these things have I spoken unto you, that ye may that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all the things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Our Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We just thank you, Father, for your love this morning. We just thank you, Father, that in truth we can never love you as deeply and as greatly as you love us. But Father, we try. And Father, as we look to your word today to try to learn how to love you like you loved us, Lord, speak to our hearts and speak to our lives and help us, God, to take those things from within us and out of our lives, Father, that do not demonstrate our love to you in all that we do. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for loving us unto death. And God, we just ask you this morning just to help us, Lord, to be mindful of your great love in all that we do. We honor you and praise you. We humble our hearts before you in Jesus' name. We say amen. You may be seated. Thought about that song. It's been on my mind all week, it seems like. What love. We used to sing it more often years ago, but it's a little bit of a different song to try to play it. If people haven't heard it, but the words to it and the thought of it, what love. What love that someone was willing to give everything. What love that Mary, as she anointed the feet of Jesus and kissed his feet and dried her tears from his feet with her hair and just showed her love to him because she knew what he had done for her and he knew what he had brought her from and had that alabaster box of ointment. And you know, that box could only be opened one time when it was broken. When it was open, it could never be sealed again. And it cost a great price. It was said that the cost of that box of ointment was equivalent to a year's wages. Can you imagine working for a whole year to buy one thing to bestow upon somebody when you had nothing whatsoever? Amen. You were poor, you had nothing, but you was willing to give everything that a year's wages could purchase to show your love for someone. Can you imagine loving like that? Do you love Jesus like that? That he's more important to you than anything? He's more important to you than all your possessions and all that you have. He's so important to you that you know that what you give him can never be taken back, because once the box is broken, once the box has been shattered and the ointment has been poured out, it can't be retrieved. Do you love him with everything that is within you? Because he loved you like that. He loved you enough that he was willing to go and hang on an old rugged cross. He loved you enough that he was willing to die for your sins. You were unworthy. You didn't deserve it. But he died for you anyway. He died for you in spite of you. The Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, it says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Wasn't because we were good people, but because we were sinners. And we needed help. We needed someone to love us like no one else could love us. Christ died for us. I want to preach to you this morning on a love worth knowing. That's a love like Jesus brings to us. In verse number 9, he says, as the Father hath loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. We see here as Jesus is talking about the Father's love. Is there a father here that has ever stopped loving their child? Is there a parent that ever stops loving your child? No matter what they do, no matter how far you sometimes don't like your child because of the things that they're doing, amen, there's a difference between accepting that and appreciating that and liking that and loving them. But I don't know of a parent that ever stops loving their child, irregardless of what that child does. Man, I tell you what, Jesus said, the Father's loved me. And I've loved you just like the Father's loved me. That timelessness of love that nothing can take away. I'm not always what I need to be, but praise God, he loves me anyway. Amen. I'm not always as I should be, but he loves me anyway. I've not always done what I should do, but he loves me anyway because of the timelessness of his love, the timelessness of his love. The Father to the Son to the world, and the church in the continuation of his love. The church still loving on people who are unlovable because no one else will love them. And praise God, he's told us because the Father's loved me and I've loved you, you need to continue loving like I've loved. Amen. You know what helps us as Christians to do what the great commandment, the God's instruction to us tells us to do? It's love. Amen. Because I know I was loved. When I didn't deserve to be loved, he loved me. None of us deserve to be loved. Amen. None of us deserve what God did in God sharing his love with us. But praise God, he loved us anyway. And he's telling us that because we are loved and because we have been loved, amen, that we need to continue in his love and continue faithful unto him. Continue faithful into doing what he wants us to do. That's why he commands us in verses 10 through 12. The commandment of love is not merely a commandment, but it's a commitment to love. Amen. Have y'all got thawed out yet? Amen. Do you realize that God didn't have to love you, but he did love you? Amen. Do you realize that he wants us to continue in his love? Amen. Continue in that right relationship with him. And he's told us in verses 10 to 12, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love even as I have kept my Father's love. Continue you in my love. Well, how do we do that? It's a choice. He said, if. Amen. It's a choice. When I chose to love my wife, it was a choice I made to love her. When she chose to love me for whatever reason, I don't know. It was a choice she made. And it was a conscience choice. It was an if. I can love him or I cannot love him. I can love her or I cannot love her. It don't make no difference what anybody else thinks. The choice is yours. Amen. He says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Jesus said, I'm not leaving you hanging out here to do this on your own. He said, I've been there before you. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Even as I have left all the splendor of the glory world to come into this low land of sin and sorrow, to die for sinners who don't even like me, let alone love me, and yet they don't realize that I do it because the Father has loved me, and as the Father has loved me and has sent me to die for their sins, I'm going to go do this simply because the Father has loved me. And if you'll continue in my love as I have continued in my commandments, as I have continued in my Father's commandments, you'll demonstrate your commitment to the love. Wherewith you've been loved and wherewith you've been sent out. See, it takes submission. My wife's committed to me regardless of my faults. I know some of you women wouldn't have me as your husband for 5 minutes. Amen. But she's committed to it. Amen. She's committed to it. She's chose it. She submitted to that love. There's some of you fellows that wouldn't have my wife. Amen. But praise God, I'm committed to her. Amen. I made a choice and I made a commitment to her. Amen. And I'm commanded here, but it's not a commandment. I can't command her to love me, but she can choose to love me and to do what God has said that she should do in her life as my wife. And I can't be commanded to love her, but praise God, I can commit to love her. And that commandment of love, that commandment of surrender and of submission turns into a commitment that the world can't take away, that the world can't destroy. Because when we commit ourselves to one another through the commandment of God and through the commandment of His Word, it brings a change in our life. He says in verse number 11, it brings His joy in our hearts. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Praise God, I'm glad that He wants us because He loves us to know His joy, and not just to know His joy in a little way, but to know it in a real way. Not just to know it in a feeble way, but to know it in a strong way. Not just to know it because of the things that He gives to us, but because of what He's done for us. Not because of who we are and what we deserve, but because of who He is and what He was willing to do for the cause and the sake of love. Amen. Man, people sit in prisons around this world, and their joy is full because God loves them. People are persecuted for the cause of Christ, but their joy is full because Jesus died for them. People around this world don't understand how much they're loved and how much joy we can have in our lives when we have a relationship and a commitment to someone who loves us. Not only do we have a timeless love and a committed love, but we have a demonstrated love that Jesus is talking about. I like it when He teaches something, He teaches it in its entirety. Amen. He just doesn't teach you. We so often just look at that verse 13, a greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and we miss the timelessness. We miss the commitment. We miss the choice. We miss the power. We miss the message that He's trying to teach us, that His love is able to conquer all our sins, that because of His love, He was willing to take away all of our transgressions. Because of the love that He has for us, He was willing to redeem us unto Himself. And that word redeem means He was willing to pay a price for us. And that price was great. Now I'm going to tell you something. My wife's a mushy type. She loves the mushy cards. She wants to be told she's loved. She wants to be held and cuddled and made to feel that she's more special than probably most of you ladies are like that. I'm just I can only speak to the experience I have with my wife. And you know what? She's not hesitant to remind me. I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. Very carefully. But she's not hesitant to remind me if she don't feel loved, if she feels neglected, if she don't feel like I'm demonstrating. And I think most of you ladies are probably like that, because you want to be loved. You want to know you're loved. And just saying I love you without demonstrating I love you doesn't really mean a whole lot. Love is just a word. Amen? Love is just a word until it's put into action. Amen? And then it becomes an emotion. Then it becomes a power. Then it becomes a strength. Jesus said, I love you. But he said, let me tell you how much I love you. Let me demonstrate to you how much you're loved. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. He was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to give everything. I would give my life for my wife, and I'm sure she would give her life for me and not hesitate in doing it. But praise God, Jesus Christ was willing to give his life for the humanity, for all mankind, not just for someone. We see as good people. My wife is a great person. She's a great individual. But I don't know if I could give my life for somebody who wasn't trying to help themselves, for somebody who was just digging themselves deeper into the pit of sin, someone who didn't care about my love for them or what I'd done for them and could care less. I don't know if I could lay down my life for them when they didn't care. But Jesus said, no greater love hath any man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He loved us just as we are. You say, well, I wasn't too bad. Yeah, you was. I don't care who you are. Amen. I don't care what family you were raised in. I don't care what things you've done. All of us are still in the same boat, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, a no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low down sinner. Amen. Deserved hell. Amen. But Jesus loved us. And Jesus said he loved us so much that he was willing to lay down his life for us. But the response to the demonstration is what tells if you love back. Have you seen the commercial with the penguins this year? You know, the penguin brings the stone and he drops it. And then, you know, the other penguin has the diamond. Well, you know, the penguin and they don't know love, but it's, you know, the picture that he's trying to demonstrate to you, you're the one for me. And he drops the pebble at the female penguin's feet. Well, I can love her. I told her, Mom, I said, I'm going to marry your daughter. Mom says, he said he's going to marry you. She said, he's crazy. Hallelujah, yes I am. How crazy am I? Hey, man, who married me? Hey, man, hey, man. I told her, Mom, I said, I'm going to marry your daughter. And she didn't love me yet. She might have liked me, but she didn't love me yet. But I wore her down. Amen? I wore her down. I kept demonstrating my love. I kept showing her how much I loved her and what I was willing to do for her. And eventually she came to realize, hey, this guy must love me. I think I need to love him. I think I need to love him back. Jesus says, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. That response to love, that response to that demonstration and that sacrifice that has been given. Lay down my life for my friends. And he says, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. What's he command us to do? To be saved. What's he command us to do? To follow his word. What's he command us to do? To demonstrate his love to others as he's demonstrated his love to us. He said, you're my friends if, again, the choice is ours. There again, the choice is given unto us. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Sometimes we miss those little words and the importance of them. He loves us and he died for us. And we can show our love to him and our appreciation to him by making a choice. If, Christian, what choice have you made? Are you following him? Are you obeying him? Are you where he wants you to be, doing what he wants you to do? Or is your sold out to Jesus completely? Friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he loved you enough to die for you, and he says you can be his friend. You can be a part of his relationship. You can take and partake of his joy and the peace and the happiness that he brings to your life if you choose to do so. He said, you're my friends if you do. Jesus says you must be born again. He told Nicodemus twice. Nicodemus 3:3, John 3:3 and John 3:7. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And then again in verse 7, he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's a requirement, it's a need. Amen. I wanted this woman as my wife. But the only way I could have her as my wife and to know her intimately, I was to do what God's word had said and take her as my wife. Amen. She had to respond. I had to respond. And I had to do what needed to be done. See, there's no mystery in a relationship of love. Jesus said in verse 15, he says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. A transparent relationship where you realize where you stand before an individual and where an individual stands before you. A transparent relationship where you know everything that's going on in their heart and in their mind. A transparent relationship where we're willing to surrender and submit ourselves unto the perfect and precious will of God. That's a good description of love. Amen. I got a lot of people that I like, a lot of friends, but I only let them in so far. Amen. There's a lot of you that are very special to me, but I only let you in so far. Amen. But this lady here, man, we even finish each other's sentences. We know what. We'd be going down the road and one of us get ready to say something. I was thinking the exact same thing. Amen. Our relationship is transparent. Our hearts are transparent. Our lives are transparent. We don't have us and ours. Let me tell you something. If you got to have a your banking account and their banking account and you're in a marriage relationship, you got a problem. Amen. The Bible says two flesh become one. Amen. It's not yours and mine, it's ours. Amen. Now I realize there are extenuating circumstances where everybody don't have a good transparent relationship. And sometimes you can't let everybody have access. But I'm telling you, in the right relationship, a godly relationship, there's transparency. There's trust, Jesus said, I haven't kept anything from you. Everything that the Father has showed me, I have shown you. Jesus said, let me tell you something. Let me explain something to you, how this relationship thing works. He said, I'm willing to love you so much and I'm willing to give everything, my very life, for you. He said, now, you have the choice to reciprocate that love by giving everything that you have. Let me tell you what you have that's yours. Let me tell you what you have that doesn't belong to the Lord. It's your heart. It's the only thing that God has given man, that we have the free choice and the free decision to decide what we're going to do with it. He said, well, I got a large bank account. I got a lot of money. Yeah, you know what the Lord said? He said, I can blow on it and it'll all be gone. That quick? Yeah, but I'm strong and I can do this and I can do that. And you ever heard of about a man named Job? He never done a thing wrong and was stricken with boils from head to toe. You say, well, but. You can well but everything. The very breath of air that you take belongs to God. He gives it. And he can snuff it out. And he can halt it at any moment. The life that you have belongs to God. At any moment, he can say, your time is done. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. He tells us in James that life is but a vapor that appeareth for just a short time, a little time, and then it's gone. We don't have a promise that we're going to grow old. You go to the cemetery, you see infants. You can go to the graves of little children. You can go to the graves of teenagers. I've seen in the paper this week, a young lady, 23 years old, died of cancer. 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. Age doesn't matter. Your life belongs to Jesus. Your life is His. The only thing that He has given you the choice over, the only thing that He's given you the privilege of making a decision about what happens, is your heart. He said, I've demonstrated my love to you because I was willing to die for you. And I'll call you my friend. But you can only be my friend if you're willing to keep my commandment. If you're willing to reciprocate. The Father loved me, I loved you. Keep my commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. See, love is more than just a giddy feeling. Love is an action. An action so transparent. An action so real that you don't fool Jesus. He said, I lay down my life for my friends. And you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. All things that the Father have told me, I've told you. I've shared with you. And we're totally transparent. We're totally real. And transparency demands that we look at our relationship and we see where we stand. Transparency requires a husband and a wife. Let me tell you what. Everything isn't peachy keen up at the Gilbert house all the time. Transparency requires us to make some adjustments, to make some changes. I'm getting ready to retire. You know what she told? You know what she had the gall to tell me?
You think you're going to boss me around when you retire like you boss them guys around at work? You got another thing coming. I said, woman, you better straighten your attitude out. See, you know, transparency. And I see how she is now. Amen? Yeah. But don't worry, we're going to take care of that. Amen? We're going to deal with that. Amen. Some heat and air conditioning out in the barn, and I'll have it made. Amen. But transparency requires us to make some decisions, to make some choices, to make some changes. Because if I love her, we're going to have to work this thing out. Amen. And get me a bigger tractor or some better air conditioning. And amen. Good radio. Get some serious radio in there. Amen. I don't know. We had to work it out. But it requires us to make some adjustments and to make some changes. Amen. Transparency requires you to see the situation. See, the reality of it is in September, I'm retiring. You know? And she better get used to it. Amen. And I better get used to it. Amen. And get things, you know, in order before I retire. Transparency requires us to look at our spiritual lives and see where we are. Do we know Him as the friend that He really is? Have we made a choice to obey Him and to follow Him, trusting Him for salvation? Have we made a choice to ask Him into our heart, if you keep my commandments, you must be born again. You are my friends. If you've done that, are you where He needs you to be? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Have you made the adjustment? You know, He never needs to move. Amen. He's never the one that needs to move. Amen. We are. Amen. We are. We're the one that needs to learn to adjust. We're the one that the if applies to. He never used the if. He said, if ye will keep my commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. He doesn't have to move. We're the one that has to make the choice. And we're the one that has to decide whether we're going to choose Him or the things of this world. We choose Him as our Savior. We choose Him for salvation. We choose to ask Him into our heart, ask Him to cleanse us from our sins. He laid His life down for us. He died for us. It's up to us to allow Him to have our heart and to give our heart to Him. If we made that choice, and if we're one of His, and we know that we're a Christian, and we know that we've sold out to the world for the cause of Christ, is our life where it needs to be, or do we need to make some adjustment? Amen. Do we need to make some adjustment? We get comfortable where we're at. And we don't want to, you know, I'm getting ready to retire. I've been looking forward to it, but the closer it comes, I'm starting to get butterflies. I mean, I can't wait. They ask me, you're really not going, they don't think I'm leaving. Amen. Bosses don't think I'm leaving. You're not going to, Kennedy, you're not leaving. You're going to stay. Come on, Blade, you're not going anywhere. I said, I'm out of here, man. I'm out of here. You know? My birthday is September 29th, October the 1st at 12:01 midnight. I think there should be a large deposit made into my checking account. Amen. And I am looking forward to it, but I still have butterflies. Because I don't know all that's going to transpire. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I brag so much about retiring. And I've looked so much forward to it. I might not make it. And I think about that. Fellow I worked with for years, she's grown up around him all her life. I don't know how many of you know Wayne Sutton, works for Amtrak. He died Friday evening. Found out he had esophageal cancer here just a short while ago. Doctor gave him 3 to 4 weeks to live, and about when I heard, about 3 to 4 weeks, he died of cancer. We don't know. But have we made the adjustments in our life? I'm retiring. It's a big adjustment. It's, you know, something I'm not sure of. And I'm a little bit, I've got up and went to work every day since I was 12 years old. Just about. I've been getting it. I know what it is to work. And now it's coming down to where I don't have to get up and go to work. And for those that question, yes, I did start work at 12 years old. Started working at a golf course. And when the school season came back, we was poor, so they found a job for me. I worked as a janitor in the school at night, cleaning school. I went to school at Elkton. I was a janitor at Holly Hall. Had to get a bus to take me out to Holly Hall and worked out there at night. I know what it is to work and to work and to work and to work. And as I get older, I get lazier. Amen. But I still get up every day and I go to work. Amen. As I get older, my work has changed. But I still get up every day and I go to work. But change is coming. And change isn't always easy, even though it's something that you look forward to. But the thing of it is, in our spiritual lives, is no matter how uncertain it is, no matter how long it is we've been where we are right now, do we need to make the change? To say, Lord, I know I'm not where you want me to be. And I want to go where you want me to. I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, I'm willing to make this change. It's scary. Are you willing to sell out? Are you willing to respond to his demonstration of his love to you, that you might know the power, you might know the strength, you might know the peace that his love brings? See, the choice of love does a lot of things. It shows us all that he is. He says in verse 16, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. The choice of love helps you to realize that you were chosen, and he wants to do a work in you. He wants to save you. He wants to use you and minister through you. He wants you to know that it's not an accident. He said, I've ordained you. It wasn't an accident that Jesus came into this world. It wasn't an accident that you came by this way today to hear how much God has loved you and how much Jesus has loved you and how much Jesus has forsaken for you. It wasn't an accident that I preached this message this morning, because God knows that you were going to be here, and it was ordained for you to know what his will is and what his desire is for your life. He wants us to bring forth fruit. You know, the purpose for a marriage relationship is to procreate, to bring forth fruit, to have children. Lord said, go forth and multiply. Amen. We have children. We have grandchildren. Hallelujah, we have great-grandchildren. Amen. I praise God for that. But church, it's not just a physical relationship, it's a spiritual. Are you leading people, pointing people to Jesus? Are you bearing fruit? Are you multiplying? Are you growing in Christ? Are you growing spiritually? Are you growing and seeing souls saved? We're endeared because of him. He says, if you ask anything of my Father in my name, he'll give it to you. You know what? She used to tell me, said, I think my mom thinks you're the son and I'm the daughter-in-law. She said, I think she loves you more than she does me. She said, I'll tell her what I think we should do this, and Dennis says we should do that. She said, you better do what Dennis says. Her mom was a very wise woman. Amen? But you know why she felt that way? It's because of her. I was endeared to her because of her. I was endeared to her mother because of her. Billy, he's my son-in-law, but I really don't think of him as a son-in-law. He's my son. Amen. I don't think of him as a son-in-law. He's endeared to me because of my daughter, who I love very much. Anything I got up there, if he wants it, he knows he always calls, but he knows he's welcome to it. Because he's endeared to me. We're endeared to God because of his son. We're endeared to the place to where even though we're sinners, he'll save us because of his son. We're endeared to him that when we're in trouble and we stand in need, he'll meet our need because of the son. He loves us. He loves us and died for us. Brother Jim, sister.